And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Let me tell you something that bothers me, that rubs my rhubarb.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to your most favorite show of all time. It's Under the Radar, part of the Athletic Fantasy Baseball Podcast. With me, as always, my friend and yours, Derek Rapper.
Hey, good morning.
Your friend and mine, and very special almost birthday boy, Ian
Khan.
Hey,
yeah, oh, thank you, my friends. It is. It's literally almost my birthday, and I am going to be 50 years old, and I'm pretty darn excited for it, I got to say.
It's very brave of you as an actor to admit your real age.
Well, I haven't been. I took that sabbatical from acting still, so it's okay. And there's a certain point in your acting career where if you do, this is not going to sound so humble, but if you kind of make it good enough, it doesn't matter anymore. It's like, you are what you are. You just get older. And when I do get back to acting, I'm excited to play the old wise person as opposed to the young crazy person.
So Ian told us it was his birthday, his 50th. I mean, we knew it was his birthday from his IMDb page, but 50th birthday, he told us last week. And we immediately asked, you know, so what are your plans? What's the party? And he ignored it and just went to every other answer.
There's no party.
That's okay. Don't worry about it. We understand. You have real friends and you have us. It's cool.
No, you guys are my real friends. You guys are my friends.
You're not doing anything for your birthday? Really? 50th birthday.
Yay. Yeah, we were going to do a big party and then just COVID and crazy. And my wife turned 50 also this year, March 6th. So this is the last day that I'm married to an older woman, which is always fun for those 6 weeks. We were going to do like a big thing. And if we did, I would invite you guys. I would actually. Maybe we'll still do something in May. It's going to be, my son's got a baseball game tomorrow night that I am going to be at, watching, which is very exciting. And then we'll come home and we'll do something special. And then Nicole and I will have a special dinner. And then Friday night I'm supposed to go out with my brother and his wife. And so we'll see. But that's Saturday. Friday night I'm seeing my agent, who is still a close friend. Anyway, nobody cares. But yes, it's going right. to be a fun birthday weekend.
No Yankees games in there.
No, but we did buy tickets for, and my son doesn't know this, but I got tickets for the Yoda bobblehead night on May 6th, which is the day after his birthday. So Friday, May 6th will be our first game that we're going to this year.
Nice.
Yeah, very exciting. Yeah, super, super fun.
In honor of Ian's birthday, I decided to put together a rundown. Only Yankees or former Yankees on the show today.
Okay.
But since it will give you some veto power, since it's your birthday, I mean, you put in Paul Blackburn, Bruce Zimmerman, Justin Steele, Michael Lorenzen, Baltimore Park, Jason Collette in GDD, and then you wanted to talk about Ryland Bannon hitting 300 plus in the minors.
Really, I didn't want to talk about Ryland Bannon. I mean, that's you can pretty much count the fact of that. No, that's definitely not mine. DVR, how are you doing, man? You good?
I'm great. I've actually been working on a idea for a TV show, and I'm making a character for you to play if you are interested in eventually coming back to acting.
What is the TV show about?
That I can't discuss in detail on this podcast because I don't want someone else to take my idea.
Sounds like that's a pretty good idea. So we will talk about it off air, and that might be my... hopefully he's not the young crazy person. He's more of the old wise person. That's what I'm going for.
Recurring theme.
That's exactly the type of character that I'm making for you.
Ah, that's nice, Derek Van Riper.
Yes.
What a guy.
Yeah,
a guy.
I have zero experience making TV shows, so I'm sure there's like a 0.05% chance of this getting made, but that's... You know, it's a little better than it was probably 10 years ago.
Yeah, that's true.
When we had our holiday party, I did a game where I made up Hallmark movies and tried to make people guess if it was a real plot or a made up one. And Ian said he wanted to star and produce in one of the made up ones, and it never happened. So be careful casting him in things. Silver
true,
Bells. All the old folks people turn young for a weekend.
That's so good.
Yeah, it was great.
That. I still love that.
That sounded so real when you described
it. It really did.
All right.
That was a really good one.
Let's get to doling out the baseball advice. We actually, even though we're kind of keeping it within, I'm sure we'll stray.
Please stray. I'm tired of these Yankees, man. They're boring.
They should have fired Aaron. And, you know, Okay, let me take that back. Because I don't want people to get fired and lose their jobs and stuff, although I'm sure he still has money coming his way. But I feel like they're going to do it. They should have just done it last year in the offseason.
I don't think they're firing
him. You're crazy if you don't think Aaron Boone's getting fired.
I'll take a bet on that he will be the manager starting next season. You want to take a bet on
that's
that?
That's an interesting bet.
I was going to give 4th of July, dude.
Fourth of July? No. I'll take 4th of July right now. I'll give you 2-1 odds on 4th of July. I think that's good, right? I'm never sure quite how the betting works. But I'll go even up that he'll be the manager starting next year. I'll put $8 down on that.
I'll do $8.
We're gonna do our own sheet. Chris isn't making the sheet anymore. So
what did you do?
We're gonna have to nothing.
What did you do to piss him off?
No, I don't think I did anything.
All right.
No, I don't think I did anything. One thing I just want to mention. We'll talk about Colette later because Colette listens to our show, sends us fun messages, and he is running away in the early going of GDD, and it's fun to watch for him.
Good for him, man.
Yeah, man. Let's go. It's so early, but still. I think last night he had like 118 points.
You know, last year I started crappy with all my teams, and they remained crappy. This year I chopped down so many, and they're all doing well, except for one. Except for the one where you guys wouldn't let me keep Nestor Cortez.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Jesus.
So thanks for that.
Yeah, all right. We didn't let you. We made clear that... Oh, for God.
That wasn't advice.
We don't give advice. We go, that's it. That's as far as we'll take it.
All right, let's get into the Yankees. Rizzo Glove, parentheses, Mateo Bunce. This is all Ian birthday party show right here. This is how Ian writes the rundown. Rizzo Glove, Mateo Bunce.
It was me watching the game, and I went, I got to write this down. Rizzo with his glove is the best first baseman I've seen with a glove since Don Mattingly. And not just for the Yankees. I mean, he's actually a wizard out there with his glove. He's really valuable. Because after the last number of years of watching Luke Voit...
Well, he played second base. Didn't they throw him at second? I mean, like he was that good that they put him at second base for a while with
the Cubs.
But
that was just shifting. I mean, that's all. That was just shifting stuff. But
they still put him at second base.
Yeah, but he's masterful with the glove. And Mateo put down a beautiful bunt. A ridiculously good bunt. Donaldson comes in, bare hands it, throws it in the dirt, and Rizzo just like smooth as silk. And then there's just all these little subtle plays that you don't really realize until you think about it. And like, if that ball got by, the whole game changes. And we don't think about defense in fantasy baseball, but maybe we should think a little bit more about defense because like Christian Pache last night in his game against Baltimore made two ridiculous catches in center field. Ridiculous catches. Well, one was ridiculous. The other one was really good. But it suggests that even when Laureano comes back, maybe Laureano doesn't get center field back anymore. Maybe Pache actually ends up keeping that job, even if he's not going to hit. And then in an AL-only league, Pache has more value because he's going to hold that job. So anyway, I'm not saying anything new. People have been talking about defense and how it affects playing time. But it was just something I noticed with Rizzo's glove and the idea that Mateo put down such a good bunt that it's like, wow, that's going to be something that he does.
We like Mateo here. Do all three of us like Mateo, right? We've talked about him for months, years. We talked about him last year.
Yes, we did. Dero, what do you think of
fan,
what do you think of Mateo?
I just like that he's playing a lot and he provides speed at a minimum at a discount, right? 3-for-3 as a base dealer so far. Good volume of playing time, getting on base at a nice clip. Hope the walk rate stays up. It'd be great to see the K rate come down a little bit. But for now, I mean, he's on pace to steal more than 30 bases. We'll see if the playing time holds up long term. I think both of you like him more than I do, but I also liked him where he was going, even as the price started to creep up a bit at the end of draft season.
I mean, this is what he was supposed to be. Those people were waiting for Jorge Mateo for 5-6 years now.
Never getting a lot of the Twitter people saying, hey, I got Mateo on my team. Thank you. Like, you're welcome. It's good.
That's great.
Every day I look at that Baltimore Oriole lineup and I go, is he there? Is he there? Is he there? Yes, he is. Because he's always batting 8th or 9th for now. But look, he could move up in the order. He's so fast. And he hits the ball hard. He hit a ball against Jameson Taillon. And it was over the weekend. He hit a ball 409 feet to left center field. And that's what I was going to talk about with the Baltimore Park. I think we need to rethink pitching in that park. That baseball field is stupid now. Now it's dumb. It was dumb before. 364. We talked about it all the time. Got to get Ryan Mountcastle. Got to get Trey Mancini. Now, they didn't just move the fences back 30 feet. They move the fences back 30 feet and raise the height of the fences by 3 feet. Hitting a home run in Baltimore now is darn near impossible. And with the ball not being as rabbity as it was, I think you're going to see guys like, this is why I brought up Bruce Zimmerman. I think hitting in that park psychologically is hard as hell. I think that Baltimore hitters are going to suffer. And I think that Baltimore pitchers are going to thrive. I really, really do. DVR, do you know that, could you measure the dimensions? And like, if you look at the dimensions, it is the hardest ballpark to hit a home run in at this point. Would you agree with that?
I haven't seen enough yet to draw firm conclusions on the park factors. It's clearly more pitcher friendly. There's no arguing that. I think the ball, you kind of hit that in passing. That's the big story right now. If you look, and I know this was a weird year because spring training was sped up, and a lot of times to begin the season, pitching is ahead of hitting, and rosters are bigger right now, so there's extra pitchers available. This blew my mind. I saw this earlier today. I was doing some research, and I saw that hits per game league-wide right now, we're at 7.59 hits per team game. That is the lowest in baseball history. There's no point in, you can go back to every era of baseball with stats. There's never been a season where there have been fewer hits per game. Home runs are down also, but just hits. The league is hitting .231 with a .310 OBP and a .373 slugging percentage. The last time we saw hit rates this low, 1908. Like, yeah, the 1908 sounds familiar if you're a Cubs fan, because it was the last time you won a World Series until just recently, right? It was that...
with Anthony Rizzo at first base.
That was that year. Like, that was that long ago. I think 1968 was another season that was also very low. That was an expansion year, if I remember correctly.
That was the mound. The problem was that 68 with the mound was so high.
Right. 68 was the good call. So we've had these other big changes. Like, this can't just be the baseball, but the baseball has changed in a way that I think is potentially problematic. Maybe we've turned the dial too far. If you're Major League Baseball, is this the game you want, where you took away hits and home runs? And the other reason hits are down continues to be the use of defensive shifts, and that's been a longer-term trend. But I don't think it is enjoyable for us as fantasy players if the league is going to hit .231 for the season. That's not a good outcome. The league hit .244 last year, for reference. So we're down 13 points from last year. In 2019, the year of the rabbit ball, the league hit .252. So when you look at the batting average category in your league and you see some really low numbers, you're used to that early in the year, but these are lower numbers than usual. And I think the ball is a big part of the reason why.
Yeah, but we also, there's a lockout and lack of spring training. You guys might just be behind a little bit.
It's the ball. There's something different on the ball.
Did you guys see the Zach Campbell movie?
No.
The what?
Very good. Highly recommend it.
Which movie?
Zach Campbell versus the world.
No. Okay, Zach Campbell versus the world.
People
commended.
Hate him, but he's really a nice guy. I know him. He's a good dude. Movie shows that.
I don't hate that guy, but the vibe I get from afar, it just doesn't sit right with me.
He's just a nice guy who's like the best at what he does. Don't y'all want to be the best at what you do?
Yes, but I also think that if Ian and his sons are at a baseball game, or any one of you are out there with your children, and you're about to catch a home run ball, and a grown man comes running down the stairs with a glove and leaps in front of you to catch your home run ball, I'm not okay with that.
Oh, he doesn't push kids. That's a urban legend.
It's still like positioning yourself to take all the home run balls, right? I mean, it's just, I don't know. Something about that rubs me the wrong
way. I've been there.
I know. And it's the thing it's his craft. I get it. I'm not actively hating on the guy. It just seems weird to me.
The ball Giancarlo Stanton hit.
You know, I'm talking about Zach Campbell fine.
No, I have an interesting point. He hit one of those Giancarlo Stanton, it went off the bat and it was like, oh, that's gone. And it landed like, and this was in New York. This was the opening, it was like opening. And I was like, whoa, that's a home run. Yeah, a home run, and we need that home run. And then I was like, well, that's an out? Huh. Very strange. So you can really see, you can see the ball. Aaron Judge, by the way, you talk about the mental part of the game. I wish he took that. I wish he took that contract on so many different fronts, but I think he's really going to struggle. And one other guy that is not on this list, but I need to get your opinion on. I think something's wrong with Mookie Betts. I think he's hurt. He's either hurt or broken. Because he's not doing anything at all. And I don't understand it. His swing, something looks wrong. And DVR, I think you talked about this on Rates and Barrels a little bit the other day, where you were concerned. And what I want to say is, people say spring training stats don't matter, right? Well, he was showing this in spring training, and it's still not getting any better. And I'm seeing 247 average at some point at the end of the season with like 14 home runs, maybe. I'm nervous. Do you guys have any thoughts on Mookie Betts?
It's definitely the kind of trend that you look at and you want to know why this is happening. It's early enough where it could just be a slump, but K rate's up. Max exit velo is down at an all-time low so far. He's got 30 batted balls. He hasn't barreled one yet.
There's something wrong with the shoulder. I'm telling you, something wrong with that swing. It's not, he's not swinging freely anymore. But how can I see that? And the guys, you know what I mean? So I may not be right.
Well,
but
maybe he's like, who was it? Someone just got hurt and the manager was like, no, he was saying he was fine, you know, forever. He won't tell you that he's hurt. And meanwhile, he's got like torn cartilage.
Right. That's what I mean. I think there's something
you could
wrong.
Ask a guy so many times and be like, hey, what's bothering you? Nothing. I'm fine. Everything's great. Cody Bellinger, probably the same problem.
Bellinger looks like he's putting it back together right now, though. Like I'm pretty encouraged by Bellinger. I think Gavin Lux is off to the fast start that I was hoping for, so that's looking good.
NL only, baby.
He was another guy that hit a ball that the dugout, everyone in the dugout thought it was out, and Dave Roberts had the "you got to be effing kidding me" reaction to it, because it was caught at the warning track. And
it's happening.
It's happening all over the place. It's not any one park. It's not any one team. It's just that's the ball. What's going on with Mookie Betts is more than that. I think the thing that would concern me is that teams know if a player's not healthy, or at least have a good indication with the underlying metrics, the rolling exit velocities, the quality of the contact. I have to wonder if Mookie Betts wouldn't be well served with a brief IL stint. Even if it's not like a shoulder tear or something seems to be going on with him. Give him a few weeks to reset physically and then see what happens. Because I think grinding through it right now doesn't seem to be fixing anything for him.
Watch his swing. He's holding on to the bat in a different way than he used to. He also, the look on his face, and I'm always looking at this, the look on his face when he's getting ready to swing, he looks concerned. He doesn't have the old kind of like, all right, here we go.
Do you think it's his hip? That's what it was last year, right?
Yeah, it's something. Spurs. This is not normal, what we're seeing. This is not just, I don't know, I'm making an assumption here, so I could be wrong, but watch his at-bats and look at him. He does not look comfortable. He looks like an IL stint is on the docket. Speaking of IL stints, I don't know if anyone else had the Byron Buxton weekend where it's just like, oh, man. Did you guys see it when he hit the...
Yeah. That's quite the roller coaster of emotions if you have Byron Buxton.
Oh, my God. And then you know, because he just gets up and just walks off the field. And then same thing happened last night with Garrett Whitlock. So I've got Whitlock in AL labor, and I've got him in GDD. I've got him in a bunch of different places. And he is finally coming in to close a game. He gets the second out. Dalbec makes a great play, throws to Whitlock. He kind of like stumbles into first base, and he walks back to the pitching mound limping. And I was like, oh, no, this is not good. Please don't. Oh, no, 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 no. And then it just turned out to be a raspberry on his leg. But it's like that. Those are the emotions in watching fantasy baseball. It's so much fun, man. It's like, I don't know how I survived the other 6 months out of the year, because just waking up in the morning and looking at lineups makes me so happy. I just love it, because it's like, oh, he's going to have that job. Oh, it looks like he's going to have that job. It's just great.
By the way, you guys both blew off Home Run Derby, right? Our internal Home Run Derby?
I guess I did. I'm sorry.
Well, because all the leaders all have Byron Buxton. That's what made me think of it. Like, if you see everyone who's up top, it's like Byron Buxton, Vlad Guerrero, Byron Buxton, Vlad Guerrero, Byron Buxton, Yordan Alvarez.
Yordan Alvarez, man. Woo! Gosh, is he good. Gosh, is he good. Anyway, yeah, so the Buxton weekend experience, but looks like he's going to be okay. Then Trout gets hurt again, and it's like, you know, is he going to end up on the IL?
That one I'm worried about. That one I'm a little worried about, the Mike Trout stuff, because he was out like... end of spring training for like an illness. And then I think he missed another day for an illness, you know, within the first week of the season. And now he's got this hand. Something's weird.
Yeah, hit by a pitch.
What is he supposed to do? He get hit by a pitch.
I'm just saying, something's weird. I'm not saying like I can follow these things logically. I'm just saying something weird.
He's back to red ink all over that StatCast page, though. Sprint speed, 100th percentile, too.
Really?
Who's telling me that like, Mike Trout was slow or was losing a step?
That was Ian. That was Ian.
No, it wasn't. No chance.
That was Eno. That was Britt.
I don't think that was
your
them
other
either.
Show.
Yeah, that was my other show.
DVR comes to our show with lipstick on his collar from Rates and Barrels.
Jeez. Is that what it is?
Yeah, Rates and Barrels is a really good show. It's a really good show.
Yeah, except he's confusing the shows now. Oh, you know, that was, remember you told me? Remember when we ate those hamburgers? Like, no, man, that was your other show.
We should eat some hamburgers.
That was your mistress show.
Well, I'm doing another show tonight. I told you guys beforehand I'm doing the Beat the Shift podcast tonight with Ariel Cohen and Ruvane Guy. And very excited for that. I will talk about this. Eno, Saris, and I made a trade in AL Labor over the weekend. We negotiated it for like 2.5 days and then finally Sunday night made the deal. And then I played.
I wish you would have recorded that phone call.
No, it was a good phone call.
We could have played that whole episode of this. Could have been you talking to Eno about a trade.
There was a moment where I was like, this is a good, you know, but this is it's the most fun part for me of fantasy baseball is the connections with people figuring out how we can make our teams better. And we made a really good trade. Cole Irvin, a reservable Cole Irvin for a reservable Andy Ibañez. He got the pitcher he needed. I got the bat that I needed. Hopefully it works. Cole Irvin pitched well last night, so it looks good for him. Andy Ibañez played last night, so it looks good for me. He's in first place. I'm in second place in AL Labor. I'm in first place in NL Tout by a little stretch. Obviously, it's way too early to get excited about anything, but feeling pretty good. Feeling pretty good about that. Having a lot of fun with it. It's really fun.
I love Andy Ibañez. He's playing every day. He's like a starter. I don't think you have to be worried about him playing every day.
He's playing every day. I'm a little worried about that situation, to be honest.
Why? Who's going to win? Charlie Culberson is going to steal it?
Yes, because Charlie Culberson last night, little subtle things you can notice, right? Little subtle things that I'm looking for. Last night, Charlie Culberson was at third base and Andy Ibañez was at DH. That makes me nervous. Because now all of a sudden, if Culberson's getting that job, then Ibañez will be in a platoon with Willie Calhoun at DH. That'll be a problem. That's the small side of the platoon. It's not ideal. And Cole Irvin looked good, and that's a really good park. I would love someone who knows about this stuff to say whether we could have... I'm sorry. There was a trade offer that just came through on my...
I'm glad we have your undivided attention in this Yankee
sorry, no,
show.
It's yeah. a trade offer that I don't think was intended for me, but it sort of came publicly. And
tell us what it was. Brain. Tell us what the offer was.
Publish it to Twitter right now.
And from whom? Yeah.
No, I'm not going to. I'm just not going to. It's just a little too personal. It's not. I think somebody put up a trade block and then somebody said, hey, would you take this for that? But then sent it to everybody as opposed to just to that person.
Oh, is that a CBS league?
Yeah, it's a CBS list.
That happens sometimes if you reply to the wrong thing. Everybody
gets
it.
Yeah, if you reply, everyone now knows that you're willing to give up that player for this player, which, so, no. I'm sorry, I even forgot what I was saying.
You were talking about Andy Ibañez and the domino effect.
I worry that he's not hitting for power. He's not walking. He stole
yeah, but
a base,
he will.
Which is great.
But he will.
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully. I still believe it's a great look. I remember when Eno took him in the reserves going, damn, that was a good pick. You know? And when I took Cole Irvin, he was like, damn, that's a good pick. And so that's a good way to swap it.
All
it's
right.
really good. I love the trades, man. I love the trades. Oh, and I played for him the Ariel Cohen, George Washington, and he just did
the one
not
that you did
laughing.
Or the one that Ariel did?
No, the one that I did.
All right.
I played him the most recent one, which no one has heard yet. And then I played him the original one. And he was just like, it's just too funny.
That's so why it was such tonight, a long phone call.
It was. It was a 45-minute phone call. But it was good. Look,
I thought it wasn't all trade. You were playing him clips. Here, watch this video.
No. Well, we had made the trade. No, but he also explained to me in more depth how Stuff Plus works. Because I didn't fully understand it. And now I have a much better understanding of how Stuff Plus works. And it makes a lot of sense to me. So, you know, it was good. I try to find who are the best players in the game. Who are the people who I can learn something from? You got a minute for a call? Like, it's the best. It's so much fun.
It's weird fun. You haven't called Vaquero yet.
He's just going to about you. So why would I do that?
I don't know. That sounds like a fun way to spend a half hour.
Yeah, I guess. That's all right. I spend my whole life about you to my wife.
Oh.
She's like, he's really funny. I'm kidding. I don't about you. But she does. She enjoys the show, guys. My wife is like, I'll listen to that show. It's fun. I don't know what you guys are talking about, but it's fun.
We'll get there.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
All right, what's next?
I actually want to know about Gerrit Cole. And I know that's not the under the radar play, but it's like I saw, you obviously saw the tweets about him. There are like three things I got to say about Gerrit Cole. One, I totally did a 180 on him after he got Nestor Cortez's ball back and bartered with a fan to get it back. Two, there was a fake tweet last night that I guess people picked up on as real. Did you see that? Oh, yeah, I sent it to you guys. Yeah.
Yeah,
but then he was going to give it if Gerrit Cole made a pledge.
I was like, $600,000. That's a lot of money.
If he lasted two innings, he would donate 600 laptops to poor kids. And I guess people picked it up as real. I saw it. Someone retweeted into my timeline as real.
It's such an obviously fake story that I don't know how people got tricked by that.
I just think it's funny. I don't know. But then three, despite his, you know, his flailings yesterday, I mean, like, he pitched 1 2/3 inning. You're like, oh, the Yankees must have lost 10-2. They won the game. You know, they bounced back. Clark Schmidt was masterful. Their offense is coming together. Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. So that's a bunch of things I want to throw at you, Ian.
I wouldn't say the offense is coming together.
It's coming together. It's coming together.
Am I buying Clark Schmidt? Yes, sir.
Are you buying Gerrit Cole?
I'm going to say something really mean about Gerrit Cole. This is not very generous on my part. Gerrit Cole is a diva, and Gerrit Cole is not my kind of player. And I'll tell you why.
He got the ball for Cortez. He's a leader.
Yeah, that's fine. He has the resilience of not much. I was going to go for a metaphor, and then all I got is not much. Because if you look at what happened on opening day when he got delayed by 3 minutes because Billy Crystal was throwing out the first pitch, doing Mr. Saturday Night on Broadway, hoping to make something of that show. Darn it, he believes. Let's hope he's right.
Yeah, but you're always going to take an actor's side.
Well, he moaned and was like, what the hell, right? Then last night, it happened again. He pitched the first inning, pitched fine. The second inning for the Tigers, they brought a new pitcher, then a pitcher got injured. So it was like a 30-minute inning where Cole was on the bench. And he's just like, it's just not fair. It's so terrible. I have to wait. I want to go out and pitch now. That's what it looked like. And so then he gets up on that mound and he's just like, ugh. It's like, get over yourself. Grow up, boy. Getting your $35 million a year. Pitch better. Deal with challenges. That's what life is about. Baseball is about dealing with the challenges. That's what I felt watching Gerrit Cole last night. I was like, you know what? I'm not a fan. And I'll root for him, of course. He pitches for my team. He will come through. But if he can't figure out a way to balance his emotions and deal with the fact that things aren't going to go exactly as he wants them to go, he's never going to, it's not going to work for him. And he's always going to be disappointed.
DVR, is he broken? Are you reading this like, oh, I got to get away from him? Or is he like, all right, I'm going to buckle down and I'm going to go on like a 1.69 ERA run for the next seven starts?
It's pretty easy to look back at last season when the sticky stuff crackdown happened and see a slightly different version of Gerrit Cole than the guy we saw prior to that. If you look at him for the shortened season in 2020, the first half of 2021, it looked every bit the same as he did during his time in Houston. I think this has been my take on Gerrit Cole recently. I had this for the Athletic Baseball Show that's coming out on Thursday. I think he's just telling people too much. I think in his post-game press conferences, if he's bothered by the 3-minute delay, first off, you're right, Ian. That shouldn't bother him. he's been a pro long enough for random stuff to happen. A long inning, that shouldn't
these
bother
guys,
him.
Pitchers won't talk to reporters the day they pitch. Like, this is who they are, you know? Like, it's just what it is.
I think it would behoove Gerrit Cole to just tell us less about what he thinks is bothering him. I'm not telling him to shut up. I'm not telling him to go away. I'm just telling him to be a little less straightforward about what exactly he thinks the problem is, because I don't think the way he's describing his problems is well received right now. And I think it's making a bigger problem for him because of where he pitches.
Can I take the other side of that for a second? I don't mind that he talks about it. I don't want him to be bothered by it. That's my problem. Because what he's doing is he's setting up excuses in his mind. And if you set up an excuse for yourself as to why things aren't going to go well, then indeed they are not going to go well. Gerrit, he needs a dad. He needs like a, he needs someone. He needs, and watching Aaron Boone, I may change my opinion. Aaron Boone's a little frightened of him. Watching him go out to take him out when he walked his fourth player in the second inning last night. It was still a sense of, I know you're not going to like this. It's like, no, you're not good. He's not good enough right now to be treated as the best pitcher in the game. He's not.
Listen to what you just said. You think Aaron Boone's going to make it to the end of this season?
Well, that's why I just might take my $8 bet back for next year. Because what Gerrit Cole needs to be told is just deal with it. Deal with it. There are going to be pitches that you think are strikes that the umpire is going to call a ball. Are you going to let that throw you? No, you're not, right? Why? Because you're a professional baseball player. And professional baseball players have to understand that baseball is a game that things shift, things change. So you have to wait 30 minutes to go out for your next inning. And you didn't get 8 runs to go along with it. It was because of a pitcher being injured. Don't set yourself up for failure by giving yourself excuses as to why you're going to fail. Not when you're getting paid $35 million a year or whatever it is. I'm sorry if I sound a little harsh about this, but
I think people are used to this. This is Ian. This is an Ian rant.
Sorry. I wish him the best, 100%. I'm sure he's a very nice person. I'm not questioning his personal character in any way. I'm talking about what is going to make him more or less successful as a baseball player. So if I was his coach, I would say, stop giving yourself reasons to fail. Deal with it. Go with the flow of life.
DVR, if I'm like, give me your Pete Alonso, I'll give you my Gerrit Cole.
Sure, why not? Why wouldn't I do that?
I don't know. This is what I'm trying to find out. Yeah.
As long as I need pitching and I've got enough offense, if I built a team that's a little bit imbalanced and I want to, I think that's totally fair value.
Ian, give me your Mookie Betts, and I'll give you my Gerrit Cole.
It's dependent, right? It is dependent on what DVR just said.
I know,
like,
but let's just say that everyone understands those circumstances.
Fair, it's fair value.
Yeah, it is. It is fair value.
Say you got Ronald Acuna coming back.
I'll take Acuna right now, coming back off injury now that he's in right field.
Here's the question. If you had your choice today, you could have a mulligan on draft day and you were sitting
sure,
there and
let's do that.
You were at the point where you were thinking about Mookie Betts previously, and your only alternative in this hypothetical is that you're not going to take Betts here, but you could have Pete Alonso instead, based on what you've seen from a couple weeks of Betts and maybe your concerns about his hip or other health, whatever it might be.
Jesus.
Are you taking Pete Alonso over Mookie Betts today just based on what's changed?
Can you give
them?
Me somebody else? Can you give me somebody that's not like first base, because there's so much at first base that can fill that spot? Can you give me another outfielder? Like, can you say Yordan Alvarez, who was 10 picks later?
Not right now. I just want this.
Okay.
Oh, you don't make the rules, man.
I just want this to be about fair. Mookie Betts and how his value has or hasn't changed relative to someone who was going. Pete Alonso wasn't going at the 1-2 turn. Mookie Betts was.
Yes.
Alonso's off to a good start. So I think people are a little more confident in Alonso and they're a little less confident in Betts. Have the lines intersected where that's fair value, an even
no,
swap?
No. I'm going to stick with Betts.
Okay.
I'll stick with Betts for Pete Alonso.
What about Starling Marte?
That one's closer. Marte's running. I have Betts in a couple of places. I mean, in a couple of big spots.
You and me both. I think you and I both need Mookie Betts to be fine and then better than fine. That's the arc.
Cedric Mullins.
Cedric Mullins is also struggling terribly. But, you know, I have 3 leagues that are my main priority this season. AL Labor, NL Tout, the main event. And then there's also Maki. There's also, you know, Devil's Rejects, all these other ones. But in NL Labor, Mookie Betts was my most expensive player. And, but if someone offered me Pete Alonso for him right now, would I take it? No, I wouldn't. If somebody offered me Starling Marte right now for Mookie Betts, would I take it? I think I would. I think I would.
How about Mike Trout?
I would not take it because he's in the AL. And that would,
fine. Sorry, I wasn't operating in your little world.
I would take Trout for Betts right now. Yes, I would. DVR, would you take Trout for Betts right now?
Yeah, they were. I had them right next to each other before. So it's really just like, hey, Trout looks like
Would
Trout.
You take Byron Buxton for Betts right now?
No. I think that's more like the Alonso situation. Buxton's value, sure, it's up. But I'm still... I mean, look, here's the thing about Betts that I didn't say before. He's in year two of a 12-year extension with a team that we tend to think is a very smart team that wouldn't give a 12-year deal to a player if they didn't think he could be very productive for most of that contract. So I think we also have to look at them and say, let's give this organization the benefit of the doubt in terms of fixing Betts if something is actually broken, and understanding they're going to put his long-term health into proper focus in all of this.
That actually makes more sense for Ian's theory that he's hurt, that he's hiding, you know, his hip.
Something's not right with that swing. He's just not releasing it. I've talked it up a bunch here, but
it could be a slump.
Could be a slump. Let's hope so. Let's hope he gets out of it.
Since this is an Ian Khan birthday show, we got to talk about Luke Voigt and Tyler Wade, who are both in the news right now. Luke Voigt concussed a guy by swinging his arms at him when he slid into home plate, which is dirty. A lot of the Reds were mad. Tommy Pham was mad about it.
Tommy Pham was threatening a fight, man. He was like, let's go. Let's go.
Tommy Pham was setting up a place for them to fight. He was saying, look, I'm Muay Thai, whatever you want. I know a gym owner. We can use the space. It seemed like a very controlled way to offer to fight someone, to name a place and to talk about fighting styles. Like he was serious about it. I think if Luke Voigt had jumped on Twitter and said, yeah, I'll fight you, we'd be talking about a fight maybe tomorrow.
6'3", 255, Luke Voigt. That's bravery from Tommy Pham.
No, I don't. Tommy Pham can handle himself, I would guess. He even said that in his, you know, I can handle myself in a fight and I'm willing to prove it. I am hoping that Luke Voigt is not in the lineup tonight for the San Diego Padres.
That would be a case where Luke Voigt's getting hit. Someone will
that
hit Luke
That is a case
Voigt
where
that.
Luke Voigt, and the question is, where does he get hit?
They'll throw behind him.
Depends.
You're going to hit him right in the numbers.
Who's pitching tonight?
That's Vladimir Gutierrez, I think. If I'm right, I'll be proud. Pleased. I think it's Vladimir Gutierrez. I just hope they don't go at his head.
No, I never want that. I'm not encouraging this.
I don't want them to go at his back. I don't want them to go anywhere.
But they seemed very pissed off about what happened, and I can understand it.
Mackenzie Gore versus Vladimir Gutierrez.
Oh, it's Mackenzie Gore? Oh, Gutierrez. Okay, I was right.
It's a 4:10. It's not even a night game. We'll know soon. The lineup might be up when we're doing the show.
Oh, man, that'd be fun. I start to, I really do look at these lineups. I really do enjoy looking at the lineups. It makes me very happy. DVR, you didn't give your opinion. Did Luke Voigt, is what he did, was it dirty, or was it just something that happened?
It looked dirty because of the way he hit him in the head. He kind of shoved his head, and it was a weird collision. This is not a defensive Luke Voigt. I think plays at the plate, we see them, we slow them down, we watch them on a loop on Twitter, and we draw these conclusions about them. Those plays happen fast. They happen real fast. And all I was thinking about was, this sucks because Tyler Stevenson's a good young player. He's just trying to make a play, and he gets steamrolled and then hit in the head on top of that, and he's going to miss time because of it.
Yep.
All bad things. I was looking at it more and just saying, is there something we can do? We could have some ground rules for where catchers can and cannot be around the plate. I know they've made rules changes to make collisions happen less often, and that's been successful. We see fewer collisions at the plate now than we used to. I realize we might have some listeners who grew up watching baseball in the 70s and 80s who think that we're already too soft, but we don't need to concuss people on plays at the plate. It's just an unnecessary part of the game. We can avoid that.
Agreed.
So I was thinking maybe there could be a restricted area around the plate, a defined, painted, restricted area where you can catch the ball and tag the player at the plate, and it leaves a clear running lane. Because I was watching a game earlier this week. I forget exactly which game it was. There was a play
that we're talking about. I saw that too.
The catcher did a great job of blocking the plate the way you used to be allowed to. You got his leg around it. There was
his leg out, and
there was no lane.
I think it was Mateo.
Yeah, it was Mateo.
It was Mateo.
There was no place for Jorge Mateo to get to the plate. There was no collision, but Mateo's wrist got all jammed up on the play because he slid into a leg that shouldn't have been there. And my thought was they called him out, didn't get reviewed.
It should have been reviewed.
It should have been a run.
Same thing.
In that situation, because there was no lane. And people fight on Twitter about this stuff all the time, because sometimes the camera angle that you get on a video or even a still shot can make it look like there's more or less room than there actually was. I saw an angle of the Stevenson play where he kind of started on the first base side of the plate, and as he caught the ball, he ended up in the path that Voit was coming into. And if you're running full speed and you see a person moving into the area you're trying to run to, you're going to do weird stuff. Again, I'm not defending Luke Voit. I just think our expectations of what these collisions are going to be like are pretty messed up, because these plays happen in a split second, and this is not a sport designed for collisions. So you're going to have these really awkward things that happen, and we should try to find a way to reduce them even further.
Breaking news. Padres lineup is out.
Okay.
You guys want to guess if he's in it or not?
I'm going to guess he's getting the... Wait, hold on. It's Gutierrez, so it's a righty. So that means Hosmer could be at first. So I think Voit is getting the day off. He needs a day off anyway. I think he is off today.
Who do you think is DHing?
Profar is DHing, or it could be Will Myers, but Profar is doing very, very well.
Profar, pro good, huh? All right, DVR?
Yeah, I got the tweet already, so it's he's not in.
No, he's not in it.
Good.
No Luke Voit today. Bob Melvin.
Good, that's right.
Playing it safe.
That's the right play.
Probably the right call.
Young Kim is in there, though.
And is CJ Abrams. CJ Abrams will be in the lineup.
Oh, man, I got a lot of Padres on my teams. Like, oh, great, Kim's starting. Oh, great, Alfaro's in there. Oh, great, Profar's batting fifth.
Profar's batting fifth, DVR. Profar hit a home run righty.
Come around to him, DVR.
Nah, he's not going to come around, nor should he. But, you know...
Why should he? He's number one prospect in baseball.
Well,
10 years
2012.
Ago.
Yeah, what year is this?
2012, he was the number... I was looking and seeing that Will Myers and Jerks and Profar are on the same team, and in 2012, that would have been like the most amazing thing in the world, because Myers was the number one prospect in baseball, and Jerks and Profar was like the number two prospect in baseball.
Let me tell you something that bothers me, that rubs my rhubarb.
What?
Owen Miller to the DL, right? Bobby Bradley cannot crack this Guardians lineup. And I wish they would do something with him, man. Like, you can't just...
We tried to tell you, dude. We tried to warn you.
No, we didn't. We don't give advice.
I don't remember
you
trying to warn me about anything about Bobby Bradley.
No one
on the show said, oh, hey, Owen Miller's going to take away all his at-bats. Beware. I think you guys more said, like, he'll play, but he'll suck. And I said, well, I'll take the 30 home runs. And we said, okay, great.
I think I said he'll play, and he's the type of player with that strikeout rate who has a hard time staying on the roster.
He's just not going to get. He's
not even
on
the side of the platoon.
Josh Naylor is back, and they like Josh Naylor.
Yeah, so I don't know where he's going to ever play.
Bobby Bradley's going down to the minor leagues.
I hope they would do that, because in this league that I have Bobby Bradley, you need a guy to, like, there's no bench, so you need a guy to either get demoted or IL'd or anything.
But is this like a really, 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 really like deep league?
AL, it's AL only, no bench.
All right, yeah, okay, yeah, those are fun, man. I
you
love
can't
these
make moves.
AL
you can't,
only
you can't
and
do
NL
add
only.
Drops unless something happens to a player.
I get it. I love these leagues. I these only leagues are so much fun. They're almost more fun than dynasty leagues, because they're just harder, and you just gotta, like, I picked up Albert Pujols this weekend with so much joy and excitement and tout NL. Picked him up for like $70 or something.
Feel good about that.
Yeah, I do. I feel good about that. I feel good better about that than Clint Frazier in my lineup. So Clint Frazier can go to the bench, and Pujols can be in my swing position, which is like the extra util spot. Yeah, very happy. He'll play twice a week, maybe three times a week. He'll hit some home runs. Oh, I love it. Love it. Love it. So much fun.
You Lyle love it?
I Lyle love it. Ooh. Now, you would really give up a ton for Jameson Taillon right now, because I've got a beef with Jameson Taillon. He looks better.
Oh, DVR wrote that one.
Oh, really? DVR? That's you?
Nah, I haven't written a topic in the rundown in 3 years.
DVR doesn't write in this. Only during the show.
Right. Wrap it up, guys. So, yeah, Nando.
Stop talking about this old movie. No, don't talk about this TV show.
Also,
that's it, right? That's true. That does show up in the rundown.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie? Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Nando, you are a full-on believer in Jameson Taillon right now, you think, is what you wrote? I'd give it a ton.
I think I don't know what a ton would be, but I think it would be more than anyone else. Like, if people were like, hey, I'm going to give up my Jameson Taillon to the highest bidder, I think I would come up with the highest bid.
What would you bid? What would you give?
I don't know. I don't know. A decent, not like Pete Alonso, but like...
No.
I don't know who's hot right now. Like Stephen Kwan, and would that be surprising? If you're like, oh, you'd really? You'd give up Stephen Kwan for Jameson Taillon?
No. You don't give up. You don't take Kwan for Taillon. I mean, Taillon has more value than that. Taillon right now is a solid.
I don't know how to value him. That's the problem. I don't know what other people think of him.
He's a solid 4-5. Solid 4-5 right now.
Fantasy or real life?
Fantasy. Right. 15 team mixed. Solid 4-5, I think. 5. 4-5. There's just something I don't love about Jameson Taillon. But first I want to hear what you like about him and get DVR's take, and then I'll share mine. But so what is it that you're liking?
Low ratios. I think he's kind of like a big game pitcher too. I mean, like when the Yankees are twirling out of control, I think Tyone's the guy who's the stopper. And that's important for the team too. I think the team will rally around him with that. I think he'll get some wins because he's a Yankee. I think it's almost like I compare him to Syndergaard. Like, you know, guy got hurt, people forgot how good he was, and now he's just got to go back and remind people how good he was.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's nice and simple. His numbers just, I think his numbers do the talking. People just forget about how good he was.
DVR, what do you think about Taillon?
I had someone reach out to me asking about podcasts for more shallow fantasy baseball leagues. And Taillon, I think, kind of fits perfectly into this conversation because he was on the radar in medium-sized mixed leagues already. And now he's probably pitched his way onto rosters, even in 8 to 10 team mixed leagues with this start. He has made some changes to the pitch mix. The shape of his pitches are a little bit different. Nando mentioned the quality of the bullpen. I think when the offense clicks, run support's going to be there. So the team context is good. Park is a challenge. I think the home run rate was actually higher on the road than at home last year. I wouldn't look at that as a long-term thing to believe in. I think lefties are still going to hit home runs against Taillon at Yankee Stadium. I like him. I think it's similar to maybe like an Andrew Heaney sort of value jump where if Taillon was going around pick 300 and Heaney was going around pick 300 in drafts a month ago, they'd probably go around pick 200 in drafts right now. So they've made that leap from definite 15 team, kind of back end 12 team to now they're getting rostered and utilized in more shallow formats. And I wonder, this is just a broader question for both of you guys. I know with the end of Tristan and Eric's podcast over at ESPN, the Fantasy Focused Baseball Show, which goes all the way back to Matthew Berry and Nate Ravitz, are we as a collective group, not just our specific show, but are we as a group of content creators, are we not doing a good enough job serving people that play in leagues that are on the smaller side of the range? Because those leagues, I think, are a lot more popular volume-wise than the bigger leagues that the three of us and a lot of people that we play against tend to play in.
Yes, I think that's true. Like I'm doing Beat the Shift tonight and they're asking me for pickups that I want. Well, they left out something. Like, what is it for? Is it for a 12-team league? Is it for a 15-team league? Is it for an only league? Like it really does change everything because Taillon in a 15-team league, what are we talking about here? We're talking about his trade value. But in a 10-team, is he worth picking up in a 10-team? So yeah, I think that's a valuable question for you higher ups at The Athletic to talk about.
Oh, this the name of the show is Under the Radar.
I'm not criticizing our specific episode or even
DVR hates our show.
Yeah,
no, he doesn't.
And Jerks, as much as he hates Jerks and Brofar.
But yeah, very, very true. No, I was thinking about it more as someone that, you know, has the flexibility to add and subtract days from the calendar, right? I could add another day to this feed. If there's people out there that would like us to talk about rostered players in a lot of our leagues that are maybe pickups in more shallow formats, I think that's something that might be worth doing. I guess I feel like Eric and Tristan are awesome, and I think their show...
That's too bad for them.
They did a really good job because ESPN leagues were 10-team single-catcher leagues. Like, their default settings, I think, you know, lent them to speak more to that format, and now I'm wondering if there's not just a significant void in the greater fantasy baseball landscape without their show.
There is. There's definitely. And there's, and you know, one of your passions about fantasy baseball is figuring out a way to grow the game, right? You're always thinking about that. That and apparently a new TV show that you're going to cast me on, which is very kind.
It's awesome.
But you want to figure out a way.
You'll be playing Eno.
I'll be playing Eno Saris? No. Eno would have to play Eno. He's, but
it's called My Favorite Podcast.
Ten, he's so sad. He's so sad. You're coming out so small with this stuff.
That's like, multiple, come on, man. Multiple, three jabs. The lipstick jab was a good jab.
Thank you.
the lipstick one was really good. Although there was that thing in the middle that's a better opening. But yeah, there's upside to it. Now, so well, let's talk about it after the show. We'll talk about, see if maybe there's a space and time. I do want to say something about Jameson Taillon, and please, I'm sure there's going to be someone out there going, Ian Khan with a psycho babble crap. Here it comes. Jameson Taillon suffers in a different way from what Gerrit Cole suffers from. If you watch him between innings, he always looks pained. Give me Nestor Cortez. Give me Nestor Cortez between innings. Talking with his teammates, feeling good. Let's go do it. Let's go have some fun. Not, I got to keep everything under control because this all could go bad for me. Which is what it feels like when I'm watching Jameson Taillon. Similar to what I have with Gerrit Cole. I don't see that with Jordan Montgomery. I don't see that with Luis Severino. I don't see that with Nestor Cortez. I paid $6 for Jameson Taillon in AL labor. Thrilled to have him. But I am not a full buyer that he is going to be a stud. Though I wouldn't trade him for less than his value. So I own him with Robert Mrazek in DL1 and... he's on our bench because our pitching is remarkably deep, but I'm not going to trade him for a bag of balls, Ari Sunshine. Like, it's not going to happen, Rabbi. But but I'm not as high on him as I am on other pitchers who I like their mentality. I want to see somebody with a strong consistency within themselves who believes that they're going to succeed. Nestor Cortez is the man. So much fun to watch. Have him on so many teams. I love him and had him in the lineup for the two-start week last week, and he achieved, and he's just staying in the lineup now. 12 strikeouts in 5 innings. That's really good. Really good, Nando. Good call.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Good call.
All right, we got to go.
No, we don't. We got a couple more things on the thing. We got to go. It's my birthday show. Can we at least talk about... I guess we can go.
Different. What do you let DVR decide?
Hey, Ian, this is your partner, James Anderson. Wishing you a happy 50th birthday. Really honored to call you my friend and partner for several years in fantasy baseball. And if you're turning 50, I think that at least a good year of that was spent on the phone talking trades and talking fantasy with your buddies. And I would like to think that maybe half a year of that was talking on the phone with me during the RDI startup. So that's 1% of your life on the phone with your buddy James, and another 1% of your life on the phone with a bunch of other people. So really puts things into perspective. You're the man. Love you.
Hey, Ian. I just wanted to wish you a happy 50th birthday, and thank you very much for bringing me into the fold and teaching me all your sage wisdom, and hopefully I'll be able to do a better job staying awake in the future, but I hope you have a great week, hope you have a great day, and congratulations, happy 50th birthday.
Oh, man.
From the Sleepy Duck Scott.
Happy birthday to the best fantasy baseball player around. Happy birthday, Ian. The first, yes, the first person on Jorge Mateo this year, Ian Khan. Happy 50th, brother. Nice to call you my partner, Jonah Heim, Alec Manoa, all send their best on this very special day. Have a great one. Take care.
Oh, man.
Hey, Ian, happy birthday from your favorite knucklehead, Clint Frazier. Yeah, man, I listen. Just kidding. I don't even know who you are, and I actually watched Bull. Happy 50th, man. Trade me for something. Enjoy the day.
Hey, this is Nando DeFino here, and I want to wish Ian Khan a very happy 50th birthday. All right, let's see you, Michael Beller.
Hi, this is Michael Beller, and I'd like to wish Ian Khan a very happy 50th birthday. I wish you good luck in winning Tout Wars and Labor.
Hi, Ian. It's Ariel Cohen here, and I want to wish you a very happy 50th birthday. It's been a real pleasure getting to know you over the past couple of years, talking about fantasy baseball, playing some tennis, eating some great fish sticks and spaghettis. Man, it's been so much fun. So I want to wish you a fantastic next 50 years of your life. Go get him this year in fantasy baseball. And remember, if you do need any actuarial advice, you can just give me a call because I'm an actuary and I give actuarial advice. All right. Happy birthday once again. All the best.
Hello, Ian. This is General Washington.
Oh, my God.
I'm here to wish you a very happy 50th birthday. Now, I know and understand that typically you're the one who gives the voice to me. However, today, your friend Ariel Cohen is providing George Washington with the voice. Yes, General George Washington is, in fact, wishing you a very happy, happy birthday. My birthday has been jerked around so many times. It's never on the correct day. It actually was a few days earlier because they added an extra week once they changed from the Gregorian Julian calendar to the Gregorian calendar. It really irks me. Anyways, a very happy 50th birthday to you, Ian.
Cheers.
And many more.
Oh, man.
Bye-bye. Bye. Good talk. Good talk.
Happy birthday, man.
Yeah, happy birthday,
guys.
Ian.
Thank you, guys. Oh, that's so sweet. That was really sweet. That's so sweet. That was awesome. You know, every once in a while in your life, it doesn't happen very often where you smile so much that your face hurts. That's happening to me right now. So, thanks. Thanks for reaching out to all my buds and putting that together. That was very sweet. I really appreciate it.
I'll tell you what, our gift to you is we're going to let you take us out.
The gift to me is to have Nando DeFino take us out because that's one of my favorite moments of every week.
Come on, so for the man, us. Come on, Ian, come on.
For the man who put together a remarkable present for me that I will always remember and am incredibly grateful for. Actually, both of you, Nando DeFino and Derek Van Riper.
Yay!
Our
Thank
pleasure,
you guys. That's awesome. Good talk. Really good talk. Bye.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.